football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner. Welcome to the CBFA podcast. We're back for another season. Like it or not, here we are. Hopefully, it's the former and not the latter. I'm joined again. Of course, I'm James Parks, and I'm joined by my usual co-host, Cole Fortner. Welcome,
hello.
Cole. Brand new season, 2024. We've got week one action to talk about.
Yes, we do.
We weren't able to get all the announcers on the same podcast, so we'll talk about scores and what you saw, and then we'll give some updates on the website and why the standings are messed up and what's going to be done to fix it.
So yeah, week one is done and dusted in the books. It was an interesting week, to say the least. So start off with the Raiders and the Lions. And it was not the prettiest of starts to the season that we would have liked to have seen. didn't really look like the Lions were very settled in that game at any point in time. It looked like the Raiders were in like peak form that they have been for the last couple of years, right out the get-go.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a trouncing in that one.
Yeah, the final score in that one was it was all Raiders, 62-0. But like you said, it's early in the season. That was only the first game, and it was the most lopsided game from the opening weekend. So I think last year we had two or three real nasty blowouts in the first couple of weeks. So hopefully things are a little more competitive this year.
Yeah, no, like it honestly just looked like the Lions just weren't quite settled in offensively or defensively. And they weren't moving the ball well offensively. They were fumbling it a lot in the backfield, which led to turnovers and stuff. And it's the little things that happen early in the season, like miscue on timing and stuff. On a fly route from the slot back, you know, mistimes it and ends up running into the snap type thing, right? Those little things happen, and hopefully for the Lions that they can get that sorted for week two and onwards for the rest of the season.
Yeah, the good news for the Lions is they've got a lot of games to get it sorted out.
Yeah. Second game of the day was actually probably one of the better games of the day, despite the score being fairly low in comparison to all the other games. Again, interesting start. Rebels received the opening kickoff, got pinned deep into their own zone, proceed to give up a safety offensively. They had a miscue on a handoff, I think, if I remember correctly. Of course, this was, 4 days ago now from time of recording. Miscue in the end zone led to the ball carrier getting sacked or brought down in the backfield, which caused a safety. So the Mavericks ended up scoring 2 points. And, of course, at this point in time, you think, oh, Rebels are going to do what they did last year again, and you know it's going to be another rough season. But they actually surprised. There was a stint towards the end of the first quarter where it was about 3 or so minutes left, where the Mavericks looked like they were going to score. And I think this is the highlight of the weekend for me, honestly. There were three or so minutes left. Looks like they're going to score. They're within the 10 for this time. Fail to score. Rebels continuously take penalties, so the downs reset, right? Well, time in the first quarter expires, so they flip the field. Again, same story at the other end of the field. Mavericks trying to score, trying to get in, more penalty flags fly. Mavericks finally get in, but then they have a penalty flag for no end. So they don't score. By the time everything was all said and done, and there's a turnover on downs, so the Mavericks did not score, there was 7.5 minutes left in the second quarter. So there was roughly 8 minutes that were gone.
Wow.
From the Mavericks being inside the 10-yard line and not scoring.
Holy.
The Rebels' defense held on for that long. Yes, it was a lot longer than they should have because they kept shooting themselves in the foot by taking so many penalties, but they survived. And then, yeah, in the third quarter, the Rebels outscored their entire 2023 season by scoring a touchdown and converting it to put up 8 points, which was two more than what they scored all of last year. And then they made their day even better by scoring one more in the fourth.
That's pretty awesome.
Victorious for the first time in, I think, myself and Dan were talking about it over the weekend in like almost like 5 years.
Wow. Was
their first win, and they win 14-2 over the Mavericks.
That's fantastic. I know.
I heard that there was
quite a bit of excitement going on in that Rebels sideline.
Here's some thought on that though, which we'll also get onto with one of our other games. Jamboree the weekend before, I watched a bit of the Mavericks play the Cowboys, and Cowboys might not be looking that great this year because the Mavericks made the Cowboys look silly in Jambo.
Wow.
And I know Jambo is a little bit dicey to make comparisons on because it's early, you're testing things, yeah. You know, new players, everything like is fresh, right? Yeah. It's a preseason. You can't take anything for granted, but.
Yeah, it's not like preseason. It is preseason.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't really take anything for granted in Jamboree. It's, you know, it's its own different thing. No one's fully, I mean, you're trying, but you're not fully trying, right? But yeah, after the Mavericks made the Cowboys look silly, I walked into week one thinking, oh yeah, that game is not going to go the way that it actually ended up going.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And in the third game, the Wildcats took on those Cowboys, and really from the looks of the score, really handled the Cowboys almost totally. The final score was 33-3 for the Wildcats.
Yeah, I was bouncing between that game and the game at Hellard, the Stampeders and the Eagles, because I was supposed to announce that game, but we have our in kind of sound issues or lack thereof again. So to the Cowboys and Wildcats fans and players and coaching stuff, that's why there is no announcers, because we have no audio capabilities in Canada again. So I was bouncing between the two games doing social media stuff, because that's what I was doing all day. And from what I got from those who were at the game for the entire game, like, the Wildcats looked crisp. Like, everything was clean and just, you know, they were rolling, firing on all cylinders, whereas the Cowboys didn't quite look like the Cowboys were used to, and they were struggling, and they had a few fumbles and stuff, and they just, you know, by the scoreline, we have a new commander in chief, if you will, for the start of 2024.
So the Cowboys, I think they've been pretty much on top of the league or near for quite a long time, and I guess it's time for a little bit of ebb in their flow.
I mean, there's nothing against the Cowboys or anything, but it is, from a league perspective, it is good to see new teams, you know, succeed.
Yeah, well,
because we've had Raiders and Cowboys and I think Wildcats be top for what, the last 3-4 years now.
Yeah, and we've had some up and down. Like, you know, I've been going to Shoal Ice and watching Bantam football now for, you know, 10 years, and in that time I've seen the Eagles go from you know, a good team to a poor team, back to a really good team. And then same thing with the Colts. They were They were pretty bad, and then they got really good, and now they've kind of they've got a bit of, tough going, and so they've been up and down too. The Bulldogs were one of the class of the league when I joined, and they've had, a couple of rough years. So there's been up and down, and the one consistent that we've seen, well, not one, there's been a few consistent teams, the Cowboys being one of them. Unfortunately, the Rebels were another, right? Now
Just
this
for
year
two
they've
very
got,
different reasons.
this year's they've got the benefit of having, some Hilltopper players, and so that's going to help them, which is great. It's going to instill a culture of winning, hopefully. They've got a taste of it now, so that's awesome, and I can't wait to see where that goes. But the Hilltoppers were another team that, won the league, but then had some rough years, and they've been up and down. The Raiders have been pretty solid recently, but the class of the league that I've seen over 10 years has been clearly the Cowboys and the Stampeders. And to a slightly lesser degree, I would say the Wildcats.
Yeah, no, but it's good for the league to see the change.
For sure. You want to see, as a league, you want to see parity. You want to see all the teams be competitive. You want to be able to look at the schedule and say, all of these are close games and we can't really call them. You got to toss a coin. That's the ultimate goal. But as we
Yeah,
know,
from our perspective, we
doesn't
want
work that
that
way.
game go into a walk-off touchdown every week type thing, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, if we had our way, that would be the ultimate. But each coach has his own staff. They have their own way of doing things. Each of the different teams has other teams around them. They've got a whole hierarchy in their program that go from Adam all the way up to Spring League, and they've got systems throughout that help them at every stage. The kids are learning early, and then they're building on those teachings as they get older. And some of those programs are absolutely top notch, and some of them have had some hiccups and some issues, and we're trying to help where there's issues, and we're trying to point to the success as a role model of how to do things right. So I think overall, it's always fun to watch, which is the most important thing. Come down to the park and watch some fantastic football. These kids pour their heart into it. Everybody, regardless of what team they're on, they want to win, and you can see it in their eyes. And that competitive fire is absolutely fantastic. So
And
sometimes the
that's,
scores don't reflect the
yeah.
effort.
No, and that's something that we're looking to highlight and stuff, and we'll try to get a bit more on social media this year with, especially with, having more of a photography presence.
The pictures are cool. If
I
only
took a
we could
lot. I took way
organize
too
the
many
gallery.
photos.
That'll be once we fix the website. That'll be the next ask for Ramp to fix is some subfolders for photo albums, so we can load up more and
Make it a little
have them
bit
a
cleaner.
little organized, so that they're not just a complete avalanche of pictures.
Mean, hey, to be fair, I did organize it by game, so it's not as bad.
No, it could be much worse. You're right.
There may be 700 plus photos, but
Yeah, go through there, find the game you
I may
want,
have gone a little ham on
and then
photos on the weekend.
pick out the pictures you like.
Yeah,
So
we
yeah,
definitely have photos now this year.
those Stampeders, as you were saying, were playing at the same time as the Cowboys and Wildcats.
Yes, they
They
were.
took on the Eagles, and looked like they handled the Eagles pretty well. So the final score, and that was Stamps 35, Eagles 0.
And again, yeah, from the bit that I watched in that game, yeah, the Stampeders, again, they just looked crisp compared to the Eagles. And I think that was a lot for, like, And it's a pretty good way to sum up a lot of the results in week one, or especially like the last, the last couple, where it was the one team that won looked crisp, looked like they had things in practice nailed down. Whereas the teams that, were on the losing end of things, they didn't look, things didn't look as clean. Things were going, things that could go wrong went wrong type thing. It's the little mistakes that can easily get tweaked out.
Yeah, just it all it takes is a couple of mistakes like that, turn the ball over, it winds up on the scoreboard really quickly.
Yeah.
And then the hard part is that, you get down on yourself and you're trying to make it not happen again, but then it starts to avalanche. And, the same thing happens with my golf game. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah. And then the final game of the day was probably our hardest hitting game of the day, between the Colts and the Bulldogs. It was a very, very fiery rivalry match between the Colts and the Bulldogs. Unfortunately, it got called short because we did have two ambulance calls in that game. The second one was precautionary. We're hoping both players are fine. Not sure how severe both injuries were. I do believe the second one was only precautionary, so it's a little bit more likely that we'll see that player back a little bit sooner than the first one. But again, I don't know. That's just information that I have from being on the field at the time on Saturday. I have no medical expertise. So don't come at me if I'm wrong or anything. Other than that, it was a very, very hard hitting game between both of those teams.
Yeah. And the Colts came out on top of that one by final score 38-8. So it looks like we've got at least four teams in midseason form, the Raiders, the Wildcats, the Stamps, and the Colts winning big. And then the upstart Rebels look to be maybe sending notice to the league that they're not just going to be an automatic victory for whoever's playing against them every week, right?
Which is
so
good.
They're going to have to prepare. That could end up being, seven trap games for the remainder of the regular season for whoever's they're playing.
Well, I mean, the Rebels could just be that competitive this year and, go on to win Div 1.
Yeah, they could. We will see. But I'm not going to put any money on it because,
No, I won't either.
that's probably a bit of a silly gamble. But you never know what's going to happen. And that's why they play the games. And it's exciting that they've got that taste of victory now. And I can't wait to see what comes next for the Rebels.
And then we have moving into what comes next for the Rebels, as well as the rest of the teams. We have our week two games, which actually start tomorrow night at time of recording. The
Thursday
Stampeders,
night.
Yeah, Thursday night. Stampeders taking on the Bulldogs. That should be an interesting evening matchup. See if the Bulldogs can bounce back from their tough game against the Colts, or if the Stampeders are still in that midseason form, as you previously mentioned, we saw in week one. Then we go into Saturday, our early game between the Lions and the Eagles. Should be an interesting one, both those teams looking for their first points. Who knows? We could have a scoreless draw. That'd be interesting. That'd be a long game.
Yeah. At least going to be 8-6, I'm thinking.
Then I think probably, it's going to be a good test to see where both of these two teams are at. We have our third game or our second game of Saturday, our third game of the week, the Cowboys and the Rebels.
Yeah, that's, in the past that would have been, not the game to see, but it could end up being the game of the week.
Very, very likely, looking at these matchups, I believe it will be. I think the first two games on Saturday will probably be our games of the week. Again, not saying that other games aren't going to be exciting or have exciting moments, or we have been wrong numerous times on this podcast over the last couple of years, but I think game two on Saturday, or game three of the week, the Cowboys and the Rebels, it's going to be really good just to compare where those teams are at this year.
Yeah, it's going to be
If
a really good measuring stick for the Rebels.
Well, even
And
for
it's
the
going to be a
league is
wake-up
the,
call for the Cowboys if they can't dominate that game. If week one wasn't already a wake-up call.
And of course, Al Cooper is going to be
Oh,
working on.
he'll be fired up. He'll have his team ready as they can be.
And then we have our third game of the day on week two, on the Saturday, with the Mavericks and the Colts. I find that one's going to be less pretty based off of week one scores. But again, we've been wrong
We
numerous
have been.
times.
I remember some blowouts in week one that went opposite in week two, and we just threw up our hands and went, "What? What?"
What's happening?
So
And
yeah,
then,
we really don't know how these are going to play out. We think, that the Colts have a big advantage, but we won't know until game day.
they're educated guesses, but we're not informing you what our education level is. And then our final game of the week, we have the Hot and Rolling Raiders taking on the Chiefs, and we get our first look at the Chiefs
First
at
look
the
at
end
the
of the
Chiefs, who were
2024 season.
on a bye for week one. It was with the 11 teams. We've got an unbalanced schedule, so all the teams that are getting byes throughout the year basically play in week nine. So there will be a week nine this year, but it's just to get all the teams their eighth games.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that went into the scheduling this year. There's like four or five drafts that were, excuse me, that were made up to accommodate different things, whether or not we were playing more games in the evening, or having that, the quarterfinal week usually in week nine removed and replaced to what it is now, where we actually have a week nine of the regular season, just to accommodate all of the buys.
Yeah. It's a pretty good schedule. I know it took a lot of work, and Logie and everyone involved did a pretty darn good job. So, speaking of byes, the Wildcats have the week off, so they'll be back in action in week number three.
Yeah, and they take on the Colts in week three. So I don't know how many of our viewers are looking at our social medias and stuff, but of course we do have Doherty's play of the week is returning. There is a new prize. I know what the prize is. We're gonna wait on revealing what it is in the podcast until next week after the first one's been handed out.
Nice.
So far, I think we've had three submissions from what I've seen. Hopefully, we can get more by the weekend, by the time we need
Yeah,
to select.
more is always better.
Just give us more options and stuff, and just, you never know. Again, sportsmanship plays, go into what we could select, as well as high skill based plays.
Yeah.
People like to show those, or the players like to show those high flashy, one-handed grab, or big tackles and stuff. But it's other things like the sportsmanship place that also could win you some prizes throughout the season.
Awesome.
And
So
also on
yeah,
our
make
social
sure you
medias.
follow and submit make your submissions.
That being said, also on our social medias, it looks a little bit different on our Instagram compared to previous years. Gordy, or our Players of the Week, has a little bit of a different feel to it. Of course, working on getting more photos up online as well. And then we also have the Bantam Takeover, on September 14th with the Calgary Stampeders of the CFL. Because, of course, we have our own Stampeders, so I want to make that clarification that it's the CFL Stampeders, where teams can have the chance to play at McMahon Stadium ahead of the Stampeders game. We have not had very much team participation so far in ticket purchases, so we might not have any teams actually go.
Oh, well, hopefully that turns around. How much time do they have before that game?
The contest closes on September 12th.
So only a few more weeks to participate. Get your ticket sales up.
It's a very short turnaround.
Yeah.
I do know there is the conflict that the teams have with the Stampeders and doing stuff with the Adam teams that was mentioned after the fact, unfortunately. But it's still a good initiative. We do like to try to, promote our league and get our players doing stuff as well. So that is why we're taking this on for this year. Who knows? We may bring it back. We might not. Depends on the success and feedback we get from everybody. But all we can do right now is promote it and
see where
it goes.
Right on. I'm sure, like most of the coaches, many of you out there in CBFA football land have been checking the website to see the standings after week one, and you've noticed that there's a problem there.
Now, what standings?
if you go to our website and you click on the Bantam banner, it drops down a list of the team standings, the league standings. And right now, because this is our second year with the new RAMP website, so going into a new season for the first time, we made an error in entry. I heard back from the RAMP people today, the technical support. Yeah, they said it appears somebody messed up, and by somebody they meant me, but they were being polite. So basically what happens when you switch your RAMP website from one season to the next, you need to create all of your teams again and leave your original teams in that year, because that it's basically a new team every season. So I didn't do that. I brought all the teams forward because I thought it would be silly to recreate all the teams. But apparently that's what you have to do.
The same decision that you did, to be honest. Right. So to me, that would make sense.
So, yeah, it's going to take some time, a little bit of time to clean up. But now that we know what the problem is, we will be able to work on fixing it. Here's a podcast edit. My first one. Elliot Friedman would be proud. So after we finished recording the podcast, Cole went onto the website and fixed all the problems. He did it really, really quickly. So we were expecting it might take a couple of days, but in fact, it only took about 30 minutes of hard work. So thank you, Cole. Really appreciate it. Now back to your podcast.
Yeah, no, it's not ideal. Again, we are human.
Yeah.
And we are volunteers. So
that's right. And so take a bit of time. Again, putting out a call out there just as we wrap up here for the first episode for volunteers. If you are interested in volunteering for minor football, if you want to hang out at the games, if you're already going to be at the park, come and find one of us. Down at the park, we'll get you set up with Tom Langlois, who organizes our volunteers for us, and we'll get you learning how to handle all the sideline duties or how to run the clock and all that, take stats. We need some help. We always need help. It's always, difficult to get volunteers out for all the games, because we have the only 5 games a week this year. It's not as difficult, but it's still pretty difficult. We'll still have one, except for week two here. We'll have one or 2 games running concurrently, every week. So that's always tough to cover 2 fields at the same time. So yeah, you like football? Come on out. It's a great brand of football. It's exciting to watch. That's why we keep coming back year after year, and we like it so much, we're gonna keep talking about it. So you've been warned. And on that note, we will call it for this week. Come on out to Schoeldice Park and see some awesome football Thursday night, Saturday, CBFA action. We're back.
It's good to be back.
Oh, yeah. Right on. The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime player of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Stop by the concourse at Schoeldice Park on game days to check out one of their sweet rides. You can also find them online at wolfcadillaccalgary.com or in person at 1720 Bow Trail Southwest Calgary. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. All minor football associations across Calgary and Alberta depend on this type of support to grow and thrive. And don't forget to bring water and snacks with you on game days. We hope that Superfan Snacks is able to get back up and running very soon, but for now they remain closed. Thanks again for listening.